نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي رب زدني علما رب زدني علما رب زدني علما. My respected brothers and elders, alhamdulillah, this is a great bounty of Allah that Allah has given us iman, and this is the greatest and most precious bounty in the khazain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who is hungry in this dunya, the moment he dies, his hunger will go away. And the one who is not properly clothed, the moment he will die, this problem will be solved as well. The one who is sick, when he passes away, the sickness will go away as well. And similarly, if there is another issue that a person is facing in the face of this earth, the moment he passes away from this world, all these problems are either removed or solved. But a person who does not have iman and he passes away from this world, his problems are just the beginning, because he will not be able to answer the questions in the grave. He will have a very, very tough time in Hashar, and the end faisala, the decision of spending we can't even say rest of the life, because there will be no rest of the life. There will be life forever. And this person will be in Jahannam forever and ever and ever. There is no end to it. So any problems that we face in dunya are temporary. A person is happy one time and then he becomes sad. A person is young and then he becomes old. A person is alive and then he dies. So there is no consistency, there is no dawam, there is nothing remains forever. A person has a lot of wealth and suddenly becomes poor. A person is poor, he becomes the king. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make anything happen in the face of this earth. And Allah can give whosoever Allah wants to give. Allah gave Fir'aun a kingdom. You know, he started to deceive himself and started saying, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. But same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he rejected the da'wat of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the same king with all his might, with all his army, he drowned. So his treasures and his armies and his power couldn't save him. So this is the power of La ilaha illallah. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is telling the qawm that the statues you are building will not going to help you. They can't do it. They are dependent upon you to be created. How can they protect you? How can they fulfill your needs? But the qawm is not listening. And they prepare all of these food for festivities, put in the front of the statues, go out, come back, and they see the statues are broken. And they consult, and they know there is only one man who talks against these statues, and that is Ibrahim bin Adhar. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is called, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is a da'i of Allah. He says that, why don't you ask them? And they know, they say, Ibrahim, they cannot talk. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says that, ask the big one, because the big one even have the axe. The murder weapon is there. You ask them. Now, deep inside, as we also know, deep inside, that our cars and our money and our houses and our degrees and whatever possessions we have, they cannot help us at the time when the Malakul Maut will come. So similarly also, they knew, and they sheepishly said, oh Ibrahim, you know they can't do anything. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is telling them, I have been telling you this, they cannot do anything. They became angry. The news got to Namrud, and Namrud prepared this fire for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to be thrown into the fire. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has given us all a lesson as well, and Allah has told us this story in Quran so that our iman can go up. When the fire was lit and they were throwing Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in fire, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is being offered help by angels as well, but Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, that Allah is sufficient for me. So similarly, my respected brothers and elders, we have to also build that yaqeen, where we come to this point in our life that we should also start saying that Allah is sufficient for us. And Allah is the one who is taking care of our affairs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us all the goods that we have. And if any examples comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide us a solution for that exam. And whenever there was a calamity that used to come down, or anything that was of importance or of concern used to happen to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he immediately resorted to salat. At Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that on the day of Badr, on the night of Badr, the night before the Badr, I was observing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was all night standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was not busy writing letters to people to send them weapons or anything. What was the call for help? Was salat. And he's making dua, Ya Allah, this is small majma, small group of individuals who take your name. If they are wiped out, no one will be there to take your name. They do not have proper shoes, you will provide them shoes. They do not have proper clothing, you are the one who will provide them clothing. So my respected brothers and elders, this was our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we all know how the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came. And it was not one occasion, several occasions, all the time. The skill was learned by Sahaba Karam Rizwan Ajmain, that any time of need, they used to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, present their need, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to fulfill their needs. So this salat Allah has given us is a direct way of taking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn this salat. We live a life according to the commandments of Allah and sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Same applies in our ma'amalat and ma'asharat and ibadat. If we were not going to learn, then we will not be able to apply. We have to learn the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sit in the company of ulama-i kiram, be with them, learn. And these days there are a lot of ajeeb masalas happening. So we have to learn them. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do in such a situation? When it was a time to get married, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? What was the amal of sahabiyat? Amma Aisha radhiyallahu ta'ala anha got married, and she was wearing the cloth or what, the libas that was worn by many other women at the time of their wedding. So one same wedding cloth that was used by many other women. This was simplicity. The wedding was simple. Sawari, the vehicles were simple. The eating was simple. Rasulullah used to get one time for eat. He said, Allah, I don't want the mountains of Makkah to be made of gold. I just want to be that one time I eat, I make shukr. And one time if I do not get anything to eat, I make sabr. Simple life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have to apply this simplicity in our lives. Otherwise, my respected brothers and elders, the life that is being presented to us at this time and age, the shaitani life that has been presented, even after getting everything, that life is not bringing happiness into the houses. In fact, it is bringing destructions. And it causes such ajeeb things into the hearts of people. Then woman asks for divorce from the husband because he made the mother sit in the front seat of the car, not her. Now if we look at it, is this even a thing of conflict? This is nothing to be angry about, but this is shaitan makes it happen because the life of Rahman is not in the house. Life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being talked about, not even talked about. We have even forgotten to talk about the life of Rasulullah. This is why our connection with ulama-i kiram and sitting in the majalis of ilm and learning what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us in each and every situation. Each and every situation. We have to learn. And we all live in countries, especially in Australia, we live in country where people are not looking, coming into the masjid and see how many musallis are there. And they are also not coming to see in Kaaba how many people are attending the Hajj. Neither they don't know about our charity. Because our charity, zakat, is internally handled. Most of the time is being sent to the needy people also alhamdulillah to non-Muslims as well, but mainly to the Muslim people. So they don't know. So what do they see? They see our dealings, and they see how we are conducting ourselves in the public. And on top of that, when we go into the workplaces, they see that the problems that we have and the problems that they have, they are similar problems, but what is their solution to the problem? What is the solution? How do they solve their problems? Because the problem of a non-believer is also that how can I get a house? How can I get a good car? How can I get a good job? And same is the problem of the person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how is he solving his problems? Is he also running around like I am running around? So no one in the workplace asks anyone anything when a person, even he has a beard, he is wearing a topi, he is wearing a jubba, no one asks him anything. When does people start asking? When you go, and the brothers, I'm just saying this because the brothers who are sitting here mostly can relate, when they put up and they go and they say that we want 4 months off. That makes the person jump. He said, how will you survive? Because in Australia we have only 4 weeks leave. So 4 weeks paid leave. There is no provision for 4 months leave. So how will we learn Iman? Now you put this application, you know there is no 4 months leave. Now the boss asks, what are you going to do in these 4 months? First question, how will you pay your rent? Who will play the... And then we also ask, is there a side business that you are doing? There is something going on the side. So when you tell them no, so who will sustain you? How is it possible? And then you can, now you tell them that Allah will sustain us. Otherwise they will never ask you who will sustain you. So this going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking, and also going with the leave. Leaving the job, easy to go. No problem. So my respected brothers, when Iman is made, when the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is learned, and when we realize the importance of the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the importance of the responsibility that has been given to us, and then automatically when we start to follow this, then this becomes an avenue of da'wat as well. People start asking questions. Even the Muslims start asking, how will you survive? Otherwise no one will ask you. You go Hajj, no one will ask you, how will you survive? They say it is fard, alhamdulillah, we have to go. People will even offer you help, that we will take care of your kids. But when you tell them that we are going khuruj masturat, very hard, who will keep the children? Even the relatives ask, who will keep the children? So my respected mother elders, this is how a person is put in a condition now. Now he has to stand up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah, Ya Allah, you are the one. The leave is only four weeks, and the brothers are asking for 4 months. What to do? So now we stand up in salat. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, I don't know, there is no leave, but you are the one who will give leave. The heart of the person who is giving leave is in your hands. So now we're practicing what we have been. And this is what the life of Sahaba Ikram was. Any problem is there, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one called this Sahabi radhiyallahu anhu crazy when he said that this zameen, this piece of land that I have bought, it does not have any water. No one said this is crazy. He said, no problem. He made wudu, put the sajjada down, put the musalla down and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, dig now. So help of Allah was there, the water came gushing out. This is what we read in Hayatul Sahaba and in Hikayat al-Sahaba. This is what we read. So how will this iman be built? when the conditions will come. And we are not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send us any condition. May Allah protect everyone. But when the condition will come, so this is what is the practices. We learn. We prostrate in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When sickness comes, we are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When anything else comes, we are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are asking Allah, Ya Allah, now we are learning deen. We are becoming iman and amal dependent. We are becoming iman and amal dependent. Then these incidents are not mere reading. Then we will relate when Sahaba were leaving their houses. You know, how did it feel like? At least an iota of it feeling comes. You know, who will take care? The wife is also longing for the husband. Husband is longing for the wife. Children are longing for the father. And people are not approving of it. The same situation with Sahaba. People were not approving of their iman. They were not approving of them for leaving. When Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala left Madinah and Manabara for Hijrah, Makkah and Makarama for Hijrah, 6,000 dirhams he took with him. That's the only thing he had. And Asma radiallahu ta'ala, his daughter, the grandfather came to visit and said that your father has left you like this without anything. And Asma radiallahu ta'ala, what did she say? She had all the reasons to complain, but she was the person of iman, and she said to the grandfather, "Oh my grandfather, no, our father has left us a lot of things." And she put some pebbles in the recess, covered it with the cloth, and took the hand of grandfather because he couldn't see, and put the hand on top of it. See how much wealth Allah, our father has left for us. So this is what iman does. Not only iman stops us from haram, it also stops us from halal. One sahabi radhiyallahu anhu comes back from the path of Allah, the wife is ready at night, and he asks for permission for 2 rakat nafal salah. And he says, Allahu Akbar. Now wife is halal. Brothers can relate. MashaAllah, all the brothers must have done those 2 rakat nafal as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us, you know. Now he says, Allahu Akbar. And then the assalamu alaikum is at the Fajr Azan. Now he's asking the wife for forgiveness, that when I said Allahu Akbar, the Jannat came in front of you. What can I do? Wow. So this was the iman that was even stopping them from halal. Not only haram, halal. So for this, my respected brothers and elders, you know, we have to strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we are not claiming, no one can claim that I have reached the heights of iman. No one can claim that. There is no one. Sahaba, despite of them being given glad tidings over and over again, people like Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, they were admonishing themselves. They were saying that, Oh, Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Oh Umar, if your Rabb will not forgive you, what will you do?" At Ali radiallahu anhu used to at night stand for hours and say, "Oh Ali, if Allah did not forgive you, what will you do?" So many other incidents. Someone wanted to be the hair on the body of an animal, or on a body of a mu'min. Someone wanted to be a tree. Someone wanted to be a leaf. Despite doing everything, he was so scared. So for this, my respected brothers, we request. We have not come to teach or preach anyone. We just come to request. And we all come, whenever we also, the brothers were sitting, they go out. The real purpose is that how I can get that skill of taking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we die, we have this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are happy to go and leave this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that my friends are those who ask and say, "Ya Allah, we want to meet you. Give us death, we want to meet you." When these ayats came down, the mushrikeen said, "We also love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is replying that, tell them if they love me, ask for death. And also Allah knows the hearts of these people. Allah says, and they will never ask for death because they don't love Allah. Such a hoax claim. On the contrary, people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have a very good friend and you are meeting him after years, what is the excitement, you know? The night before travel, you can't even sleep. And during the flight, you are happy. Oh, we did this together, we did this together. You have these memories and you are happy that he will come to fetch you at the airport. So the flight is nice as well. There is no, you know, there is no anxiety. There is no fear. So similarly, my respected elders, how can we also come to a point in our lives when we also have the same comfort with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For this we have to sacrifice. The more sacrifice we will make for Allah, more our hearts will turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More our love for Allah will increase. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Quran that the believers are intense in their love for Allah. They are intense. So for this, my respected brothers, the time is, is 20 minutes to run. So inshallah, we make our intentions to God in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyone who has not been 4 months, please make intention to God in 4 months. And anyone who has been already, the taqazas are open. The whole world is waiting. When we were young and we used to be in the majma of Raivan, and all these old buzurgs used to say, the world is waiting. And we used to think that, you know, this is a bit too much. Who is waiting for us? No one is waiting. But when Allah took us and literally, you know, the issue that was being presented is actually mildly presented. The issue is much more severe. The condition of Ummah, that Ummah is going, until we don't go, we don't see. And when you see, you cannot unsee. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So for this, brothers, I would request inshallah to give our names as well. Whatever is the tashkil happens, inshallah, we give our names, inshallah. Jazakallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.